Good morning, Anne. Well, God has been very gracious to me once again this morning. He gives me this privilege to stand here and worship Him in this manner as well, to preach His word. I request you all to please stand for the reading of God's word. And turn with me to the book of Philemon. This book is found in the New Testament after the book of Titus and before the book of Hebrews. And I'll be reading from verses 8 to 10. Philemon, chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Let's bow and pray as we. Father, we bow down to worship you, and for you are God and there is no other God besides you. My heart is filled with gratitude for your word. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak your word and worship you, Father. Father, you know how inadequate I am, so I plead with you to give me boldness to speak. Also, I pray that no one will harden their hearts, but allow your word to cut and penetrate deep down and bring conviction and cleansing and surrender their lives to you. Also, allow your word to bring peace. Help all those who come to the church be blessed and enjoy this time around your word and grow in you. And with much gratitude, worship you, Father. Bless our precious time of worship to you this morning. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I titled today's these three verses as Paul's appeal to Philemon. The book of Philemon is one of the shortest letters of Apostle Paul. It has only one chapter with 25 verses. As you all read Philemon, just on the face value, it seems a very simple, a straightforward letter. But as you study, as you get into the depths of it, you will understand the richness of Christ's love. Let me give you a quick recap of what we studied so far. Just a little bit of review, in case you have forgotten and you are new with us today. We have done up to verse 7. Verses 1 to 3 is an introduction. Paul is in prison along with Timothy, and Paul writes this letter to Philemon from the Roman prison. Paul was in prison preaching Christ. Paul writes this letter to Philemon, a brother in Christ and fellow worker. Philemon had a church meeting in his house, and just as we had discussed then, the DCC is a church like that, which started from a house, a home group, and then to this 43 years of God's faithfulness to DCC. So it was a church, something like that, and then people met in houses. So this was a house church. There was a house, it was a church that met in Philemon's house. He also owned slaves, and one of the slaves mentioned is Onesimus. Paul also mentions Apphia, and the Holy Spirit doesn't say anything more about her in the text. But we can assume that she's a faithful sister serving in the house church. Paul also mentions Archippus as a fellow soldier. We don't know what kind of ministry he was doing, but he was important and served alongside with Philemon as a faithful soldier. But many as time is the case that we start well and then many just get lukewarm. So likewise, in Colossians chapter 4 verse 17, Paul writes, "Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received from the Lord." Paul's word to Archippus to complete the ministry, or take heed of the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This was a gentle rebuke for having neglected his ministry. He was backsliding and being a soldier, and from being a soldier to being pulled up and exhorted by Paul to get back on track, be focused, sincere, and committed to his God-given ministry. And then from verses 4 to 7, Paul is thankful to God for Philemon's life. And we've seen that in detail. What a blessing it is. Can somebody look at your own life and say, "I'm thankful, I thank you, God, for drawing out of darkness"? And that's how Paul is praying for Philemon. He thanks God for his love and faith, and that he has towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints that met in his house. Paul also prays that the sharing of the faith may become effective and produce fruit. Paul says that Philemon's life gives him much joy and comfort. And remember, where is Paul when he's doing all this? He's in the prison. He looks at Philemon and thanks God for his life. And the theme of the book of Philemon is Christian reconciliation. This teaching on reconciliation is very precious to the Christian believers. It is a beautiful story of forgiveness and reconciliation. Let's define reconciliation. Reconciliation, it is a change from enmity between two parties to love, peace, and faithfulness. Reconciliation is not easy, and the Bible teaches us that to get reconciled to God, Christ had to pay the price. Christ had to pay that price with his blood on the cross. It wasn't easy. And we know that because man sinned against the holy God. And because of sin, there has been breakdown in our relationship between God and man. And in Romans chapter 5, Paul says that before reconciliation, he gives us our situation, every man and woman and every human situation before he was reconciled to God. In Romans 5, he says, "We were powerless." And you, in your own mind, as I read those words, can define, you know, and simple English. So Paul says, before reconciliation, we were powerless, ungodly, sinners, enemies, dead in our trespass and sin. We were under God's wrath. And I allow that to sink in a little. But God, being rich in his mercy, gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was born to take away our sins. He is the Lamb of God. Reconciliation is a work of God through Christ. Thus, it is Christ, through the cross, made reconciliation possible. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says that for our sake, he, God, made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has reconciled the world, not counting people's sin against them. We have been justified through faith in Christ Jesus by his blood on the cross. Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, he was perfect, righteous. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and even death on the cross. Jesus Christ went through the pain, the persecution, the rejection, and the torture. He was bruised and mocked, humiliated. His precious, priceless blood was shed on the cross, and he took the full brunt of the wrath of God upon himself, to the point that he cried out on the cross saying, "My Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" This should have been our situation. This should have been, and you can put your name there, our situation. We as sinners deserve to die. We deserve this punishment instead of me dying. God sent his son, Jesus, to die on my behalf. He took all our past, present, and future sins upon himself and gave us life in him. Thus, we are no longer enemies. Instead, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. And now we can boldly come into his presence and call him Abba, Father. And what a privilege that is. We become a new creation. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. There has been a change from the state of enmity to one of peace and fellowship. The message of reconciliation or salvation that has come from God through Christ has been passed on to us. The whole message of reconciliation is centered around the love of God and the death of Christ. Paul reminds us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And this brings us to peace with God. Access to God through Christ, and that reconciliation is the very theme of Philemon. Mainly there will be three characters in the book of Philemon. There will be Paul, who's writing this letter from the prison. There is Philemon, and we'll get into more detail of who he is and what he's been doing. And then there is this slave Onesimus, who's done some wrong to Paul, and then to Philemon, and now he's going back. So those times, days, and slaves were there, and were they accepted, and so on, and all that we're going to look into detail. Well, Philemon is a very privileged man that he receives a letter from Apostle Paul. Wow. You know, if we received a letter from someone important, we would, we would showcase it, we would keep it, we would even after 10 years, 15 years, show it, hey, you know, I got a letter from this celebrity. Yeah, I mean, my name was there. Wow. You know, you feel great. But this is a letter from Apostle Paul, and he is an Apostle Paul, and we have, again, in our previous messages, studied who this Apostle Paul is. Saul, and then after his conversion on the road to Damascus, Paul. So Philemon is a very privileged man as he receives a letter from Apostle Paul, and this is a plea. It's an appeal to Philemon to forgive, to be reconciled to his runaway slave Onesimus. Paul heard about Philemon from Onesimus and wrote this letter from the prison and gave it to Onesimus, who faithfully handed it over to the master. If Onesimus had not truly repented in prison under Paul's guidance, he could have easily got out, thrown the letter, and gone back to his own life. Remember, he's a slave. Like many of us, he could also give in to doubt and fear whether my master would really forgive me or send me back to prison. I mean, those kind of questions that many a times you don't take, trusting God, those decisions, and it's just thinking, praying. But here is a man who's been sent back, and Onesimus knows that we can trust God to take care of us and the consequence of our sin when we repent. And so let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 is saying here, accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Paul writes about being bold enough in Christ to command you, Philemon. As an apostle, Paul had this authority. He had boldness also, because possibly he had led Philemon to Christ. And you can see that in verse 19 of the same chapter. In Christ, Paul was highly placed spiritually. He was like a father to Philemon. Paul says, though he can command, he can order Philemon with all the boldness to act in a particular manner, and he can rightfully order Philemon as to what is required to be done, give direction, you know. I'm the boss, I'm telling you, this is what is need to be done, Philemon. But that's not what he's doing. And he says further, again, in that verse 19 only, the second half, the B part, if you look at it, he says, you owing me even your own self. And it is always better to appeal than to use authoritative command, you know, even if you can. And as seen in earlier verses, that Paul thanks God for Philemon's life and knows that Philemon is a God-fearing and a God-honoring man. The context of verse 8 is this whole letter about Paul wanting Onesimus to go back to his master Philemon so that both could be reconciled with each other of what Christ had done to both their lives. They both were believers, so they've experienced this goodness of Christ. So he's going deep. And verse 9 and 10 will get us into a more detail on that. And verse 9 here is saying, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus. He's going on in his appeal. Paul is not authoritatively ordering Philemon to act in a particular manner. Since this is a very sensitive and a personal letter, Paul is appealing, which means he's literally begging. He's appealing to Philemon to take back Onesimus. And Paul's appeal demands on love and not on command. Not on command that must be obeyed. Philemon, whether you're willing or not, do this, I'm telling you. That's not the direction that he's coming from. Human love, even that of two good believers, is not enough in this very delicate matter that Paul is working on Philemon to act on. We need to understand the background and the situation of what has happened. And I gave you a little, but let's get into more detail. Philemon was a slave owner. Onesimus was his slave. Slaves are without rights and any hope. Onesimus had landed in jail, obviously, because he had committed a serious offense against Philemon and his family. What exactly was his crime is not mentioned in this letter. When Onesimus was in prison, Paul befriended him and led him to Christ. Onesimus had been reconciled to God through Christ. Paul was introducing Philemon not just to his old slave, but a newborn creature in Christ. Onesimus was now a fellow believer. And Philemon is not knowing that. He'll only understand that as he looks at the letter. Philemon was not just to forgive and forget the past crimes of his slave. Paul was appealing to Philemon to love Onesimus as a fellow believer. Not just as a forgiven slave. As much as Onesimus was now reconciled to God through admitting his evil and repenting, turning away from his past evil ways to a new life in Christ, Onesimus now needed to be reconciled to his master, Philemon. This would mean that Philemon would have to understand and accept the fact that Onesimus was not returning to him only to be forgiven for his crimes as a slave. Onesimus was returning to Philemon to beg his forgiveness for his past crime, as well as to live with Philemon as one who was a brand new man. A man who now would serve with him with deeper faith, loyalty, integrity, and Christian disciple. I hope you see the transition from Onesimus, who was not a slave, and now Onesimus, who is a believer. And you have to keep the background of those times in mind, that Onesimus is yet a slave. If Philemon would understand and accept all this, he would need to stretch out his love in Christ to a returned slave who had betrayed him. Paul refers to being an old man, indicating his spiritual maturity there and wisdom before Philemon. He appeals to Philemon out of that maturity. It is possible that Philemon might respectfully accept Paul's heartfelt appeal. Paul's add to the fact about being in prison for Christ's sake. And that was to stir up Philemon even more to listen and submit to his appeal. An ordinary master in those days most probably would never have wanted a slave like Onesimus had been in the past to back in his home. Philemon should have hated and bitterness throw Onesimus back into prison. Paul's appeal that Philemon show Christ's love. For love's sake, he says that in verse 8. For love's sake, take back, forgive, and be reconciled to Philemon. The same kind and quality of love he had experienced from Jesus for himself. As Christ loved Philemon with agape love, now Philemon loved Onesimus. That's where he's appealing to. That part he's appealing to. And an unbeliever will not understand this part, but a believer will. And Christ's love is agape love. And agape love is a love of will, choice, and self-sacrifice, and humility, unconditional love. Believers should not need to be taught this love, because its source is already in them, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at verse 10. And he continues in his appeal for Onesimus. And he says, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. And now Paul is introducing Onesimus as his child. Paul is adding a very tender word in that request. He says, my child, before he can say Onesimus. Paul could have used the words like, my fellow prisoner. Or he could have said, forgive your slave, who is now a fellow Christian. Or he could have said, I mean, he would have just introduced him like that. But that's not what he does. Paul desperately wants Philemon to go deep in Christian love and understand the high price and value of Christian reconciliation. Paul is appealing for his child to be taken back by Philemon. Paul is very faithful. Committed man of God. Paul's life was very focused on Christ. He said to live is Christ. He has intimacy with God, with Jesus Christ. He loves Jesus Christ. And he has a great relationship with God. And this is so very important. Your walk with God, Christ, matters. It matters. If you're walking in the Lord faithfully and are rooted in His Word, and that's the Bible only, then no situation can discourage you or distract you from behaving and living in a godly manner. I mean, remember, where is Paul? He's in prison. Do you see any kind of complaining or a prayer request or anything like that? I mean, Paul is in prison. He's not complaining. He's not cribbing about his surroundings or situations or his hardship. He was so committed to Jesus that even in a place like a prison, and these were not prison, just in jail, in midst of four walls. It wasn't that. It was much, much worse. And you can do that reading for yourself. How were these Roman dungeons and prisons? They were very, very horrible. You can study that from Google. So he was in prison. And what was he doing there? He was so committed to Jesus that even in a prison, he was evangelizing, and a robber, a slave, Onesimus, who was once useless, came to the Lord because and became a useful servant of Lord Jesus Christ. Paul led Onesimus to Christ, even in that very condition. Paul writes that he became Onesimus' father in the imprisonment, and that was his style. Whoever Paul led to Christ, he said the same thing about Timothy, about Titus, to the Corinthian church, to the Galatian church, and he would address them as his child. But this is very special. I just want you to introspect and reflect for a moment on our walk, our intimacy with God, Jesus Christ. Our intimacy many times depends on our moods, our work situation, our pressures, and if something is wrong and not as you desire, then the first thing that happens mostly is that we don't pray. Our walk with God goes for a toss. And that's one area that you should never move from, no matter what happens. Like Paul, he's not complaining, there's a fracture, maybe it's bleeding, it's smelly here, it's not comfortable, I'm even tied to a chain. No complaint. The focus is Jesus. That intimacy with God is there. No matter what, 24/7, he's a man of God. And this happens many times because our relationship with God is not intimate. So we don't pray or situationally pray or even miss church or prayer meetings. My mood. It is we who become unfaithful, but God, Jesus Christ, faithfulness endures forever. Think about that. And this we are talking to believers. Onesimus arriving at Philemon's home could be a surprise to Philemon, because the letter is sent by Paul with Onesimus to Philemon. It would also have been extremely challenging for Onesimus to carry this letter back to his master, whom he has sinned against. No runaway slave in those days returned to his master on his own, because the result may be imprisonment or even death. Paul is therefore appealing on behalf of Onesimus to strengthen this appeal and to make Philemon become tender towards this returning slave. Paul speaks tenderly of Onesimus. Paul calls him my child, his child. Paul too had great status, not just as a Christian apostle, but as a Roman citizen. He was a tent-making businessman. To adopt a slave as a child is totally shocking in those days. It's not given. It's not common. It's absolutely shocking. If Paul can call a slave his child because he had led Onesimus to Christ, surely Paul's appeal to Philemon to take back his slave should be much less a problem for Philemon. And we'll see that more in the coming text. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And I pray that you will continue to allow your precious words to bring convictions. And like Onesimus, please, Father, continue to save people to your kingdom. Reconcile all those who are far away from you to you. Also, if anyone needs forgiveness and reconciliation among people in DCC, then let that happen in your love. Don't allow anyone to harden their hearts. Restore and guide our hearts and minds to you, God. Father, your name, which is above every name, be glorified, magnified, and lifted high above. Thank you, Father, for this time. Amen.